Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word in this message, we ask you to bless us to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. James chapter 1, verse 21. We love you, Jesus. Oh God, please use me to reach the unsaved. Amen. What a great prayer today for each of us. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:11, hell and destruction are before the Lord or before his eyes. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? As God looks down from his heavenly throne upon the earth, he sees billions of souls, men and women and children, and he sees that hell and destruction are under them in the heart of the earth, Matthew 12:40, and so many billions have already gone into the bowels of eternal damnation, never to have another chance to escape. And so much more, the hearts of the children of men that are still alive on the earth are a burden or something that concerns our Lord. That's Proverbs 15:11. The eternal souls of men for whom Christ died lie in the balance between heaven and hell. God the Father sent Christ for us and for them, all men that are not yet saved. And Christ has sent us to reach them. This is what we call the Great Commission. John 20, verse 21. And as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So the Father sent the Son, and the Son sent the Holy Ghost to live in his people and empower us to do his will. He has sent us, and he sent us equipped with his word and his spirit. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just what is the Great Commission, we might ask? The Great Commission is a commission, that is, between our Lord Jesus Christ and his people on a mission to win sinners to his eternal kingdom. Christ's Great Commission includes not only the winning of lost souls, but also thereafter to teach the Word of God to them, to all men, especially to those Christ saves into his kingdom. The end of Matthew and the end of Mark. Someone, to some extent, obeyed Christ's Great Commission, and this is how you and I have been saved. But just what was Christ's mission in the first place, someone might ask? Well, here it is in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul says, I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. It would be utterly impossible to truly know and follow Jesus and not desire to see other souls saved. It's impossible to know Christ and not reach out to others to know him, to help them to know him. With this in mind, how many today do we see who claim to know Christ and yet have no heart for participation in reaching lost souls for whom Jesus bled to save? The Bible says in John 15:13-16, Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his lord or his master doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's John chapter 15, saints. If I truly possess saving faith, I will be actively seeking to save the lost for whom my Master Jesus died and commanded me to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16, 15. So what excuse on Judgment Day is going to stand for those who claim to know Christ and yet aren't making him known? A sister named Samina said a converter has to be alive to convert others. Dead people don't have the chance to convert others, unquote. Not only dead and in the grave, but also spiritually dead people do not win others because they don't have the life of Christ in them. Perhaps have never been converted, or perhaps they were converted and backslid, and now they are separated from God again. So at the root, it is due to the wicked, soul-damning sin of self-idolatry that Christ and his work are neglected today. Such is the fruit of a hell-bound life of idolatry, according to Revelation 21:8, which says, every idolater among other classes of sinners will be cast into the lake of fire. Some complain of not having enough money to win souls. Well, David Livingstone, the great evangelist, said this, I can be rich without money. We're rich in Christ, and he provides everything we need every step of the way to fulfill exactly what he's calling us to do. David Livingstone also said, fever seems to forbid, but I shall work for the glory of Christ's kingdom, fever or no fever. He worked and labored in the Lord no matter what was going on in his life, including having bad health. Some in this wicked generation balk and murmur at what they consider a sacrifice, such as giving up a futile pleasure. Now, David Livingstone said this also, people talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather it is a privilege. Amen. David Livingstone, or Livingston. Ask yourself, my friend, is the extent of my Christianity attending church services 2 or 3 times weekly? Is that all it is? Is this God's purpose for me on earth? Is this what we see in the book of Acts, where the history of the early New Testament church is recorded? A fresh reading of this book of Acts will reveal that the so-called Christianity we see here today, especially in the Western world, has little resemblance to that of the earliest followers of Jesus. Please don't take this in a negative way, friends, but I am merely stating this so that we can reevaluate our lives and examine them according and against the pattern of Holy Scripture from which we will be judged, according to John 12:48. We should recognize, as most Christians already do, that men tend to wane from the truth as they go on in traditions, the truth gets lost, and in building their own kingdoms and lose sight of the Lord himself and his precious precepts, including his great commission command, to whom we shall give account as to whether or not we fulfill that great commission to go teach and preach his word. So these organizations of men, their church businesses, their books, their programs, and their agendas take precedence over our Lord's simple instructions to go and teach and preach his word. End of Matthew, end of Mark. Were we not warned of this, especially in this final hour, where the Apostle Paul said, now the Spirit speaketh specifically, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So those saved today must be taught what God's word says, or they will very likely be swept away in the strong currents of the false church and waste their lives feeding that beast of a system and miss the call of God to protect participate in evangelizing lost souls and helping believers learn His Word. Did not our Lord tell us that traditions make His Word void? Mark 7:13. Yes, He did. The true disciple of Jesus must follow Him. And He told us He is the truth. John 14:6. To follow the truth is to reject following man's religious tradition. The church revealed in the book of Acts obeyed God by being baptized with the Holy Ghost and preaching Christ, and they saw our Lord save multitudes. They cast out devils, went from house to house, fellowshipping with each other, turned the world upside down, openly upbraided sinners when He quickened, and when the Lord led them to, had dreams and visions, prayed in tongues. As the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, they prayed constantly and consequently walked in the power of God. Is this not the fulfillment of what our Lord sent us, that is, His people, to do? The end of Mark 16:15-20 says, "And He, Jesus, said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. End of Mark chapter 16. Now, you notice God takes care of His people when they're in mission and on mission for Him. That doesn't mean you have to travel and leave your city or town, but if you're on mission for the Lord, and I have seen this so powerfully, God works so far beyond our human capabilities. And that's what He's saying here, that He's going to give us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And if we drink any deadly thing, it's not going to hurt us. When somebody tries to derail or murder us, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're not praying in your power. You're praying in the power of the name of Jesus. And that's all you can do. And do it in faith and watch God do miraculous things. And the most miraculous thing He's ever going to do is save a soul or save souls. So as Satan himself would have it, most of the new versions of the Bible, which come from corrupt manuscripts and were concocted by greedy, godless men and women, either cast out upon or altogether remove this explosive Great Commission passage spoken by the Son of God when commissioning His people at the end of Mark 16. So many today sit back and wish for a quote, move of God, unquote, and they wait in vain, as they will forever, if they continue that and don't repent and get busy obeying God. The Lord is waiting on them to render simple obedience, beginning with the obedience of humbling themselves in repentance before Him and asking Him to fill afresh and use them. Are you praying that, my friend, that the Lord would use you? I sure hope so. Great things are going to happen if you are, and if you're allowing Him obediently to prepare you. Those who are doing so are experiencing exploits being done by Christ through them and through their simple obedience, just as He promised here in giving the Great Commission command to His church in the end of Matthew and in the end of the book of Mark. Beware, because a fresh reading of the book of Acts could change your life, my friend, especially if you will acknowledge that the same God, there's only one, who moved then, is alive and well today, working among His people. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This may result in putting you on fire, that is, filled with the Holy Ghost, and living a true New Testament life, an adventure like no other. That is, if you seek the Lord in prayer today and ask Him to use you mightily, to prepare, to purge, and to use you as an individual who will soon stand before the Almighty to be judged for what he did, that is, beginning with me, for what I did and for what I did not do in my earthly life. I must remove myself from every trace of modern-day religion and tradition, lukewarmness, and apostasy. I must reject all that does not resemble the New Testament Christianity recorded in Holy Scripture. New Testament Christianity was all about loving God and preaching Christ and the law to convict in obeying the Great Commission, to edify the saints and reach the lost. Here's but a taste of what we see among the earliest followers of Jesus. When persecution hit Jerusalem, we read in Acts 8:4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word," that all of the body of Christ, and most of them had just gotten saved at Pentecost. They went everywhere. They were scattered everywhere, and they went forth doing what? Hiding? Moping? No, they went everywhere. They were scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. What a blessing. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. So notice here that there was a church-wide effort to evangelize the unsaved. It says, not one of them, or not a few of them, but they, all of them, were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Persecution had hit Jerusalem, and many of the believers were scattered abroad, which means dispersed throughout the world, the known world, out from Jerusalem. Jesus foresaw this just before Pentecost, when he filled his people with his Holy Ghost. Jesus said this, as I quoted partially earlier, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before Pentecost. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Notice, you're going to be a witness right here in Jerusalem, and then out from there, just outside of Jerusalem, Judea, the land of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus has saved you and I, and he wants to use us right where we are. And the way to be equipped to be used of Christ is, first of all, if you're saved, to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to be a student, a devourer of the Word of God. Are you ready to pray here, friend, and ask God to prepare and use you as he did with his earliest followers 2,000 years ago? Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we thank you for finding us and saving us by the power of the blood of the Son of the living God. Father, we love you and we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that has washed away all of our sins. Lord, we confess any sin that might be in our lives right now, in thought, word, or deed, omission or commission, and we ask you to rebuke us, convict us, and cause us, Lord, to be very sensitive to your leading, and to fill and to prepare us, and to grant us to be teachable, those who have hearts of flesh and not stony hearts, not hardened hearts, but hearts of flesh that can be led of thee, God. Give us an appetite and cause us to be disciplined followers of you, for that is what disciple means. And we ask you, Lord, to give each person who prayed here today for the Holy Ghost, to give them the full evidence that you have shown in your word, Lord, the power of God to pray in tongues and to walk with you and to be led of thy Spirit, O God, and to be powerfully used of you to feed and equip your saints, and also to be a consummate soul winner in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several, many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.